Thank you for plugging into this Family Life News podcast, streaming issues-driven, family-focused news.
Welcome back to another edition of Capital Connection. Fridays during the Noon Report, we give you direct connection to what's happening in Albany and Harrisburg with the experts on the issues. At the state capitals, they are Michael Geer with the Pennsylvania Family Institute and Jason McGuire with New Yorkers for Constitutional Freedoms. Michael, let's begin with you this week. Governor Wolf defending his pandemic policies, really baring his teeth this week. After that judge's ruling declaring a lot of this unconstitutional, where does this case go from here, and do you ultimately think it will be upheld?
Well, it was quite some buzz that happened in the Capitol and around the state with that judge's ruling from Judge William Stickman about the governor's rulings and mandates on COVID-19. The governor says he's going to appeal it, and it would go to the Third Circuit Court of Appeals. Where it goes from there is a question mark. It depends really on what panel of judges they draw in this, and then how it comes down, whether it goes to the U.S. Supreme Court. That's a possibility.
All right, we'll see. I know a lot of folks are interested to see it, whether that gets upheld or not. I know he's got his attorney general out there really going to bat for him. Jason, we spent a lot of time last week talking about mail-in ballots, absentee ballots, but we want to let folks know that if you're not registered, none of this matters. There's just a few more weeks left, right? To register to vote for the big election, just 45 days away now?
Yeah, it's coming up quick. You know, as we look at that election coming, you're right. If you're looking to register, you need to get that done. But the reality is, for a lot of people, it's going to look a little different this year in how they vote. And so voters can vote a number of ways. I mean, they can request that absentee ballot ahead of time. They can do that up until October 27th. I would not wait that long, as they're not guaranteeing delivery in time if you wait that long. You can do early voting this year, starting October 24th, but there are certain locations, not necessarily where you normally go to vote, where you show up for that. And then the third option, you know, is actually showing up and voting on Election Day, and that's one that I think a lot of folks are looking forward to. We've worked through this pandemic, and frankly, I'm looking forward to going forward and casting my vote on November 3rd. There's something patriotic about it. I'm just excited about the opportunity to cast a ballot this year.
Yeah, you might be in the minority. I heard a statistic the other day that up to 52% of voters could have already cast their ballot before Election Day. Are you hearing that too, Jason?
Well, I'm pretty used to being in the minority here. I'll say that first off. But in reality, I do think that it's something that Republicans, Democrats, I mean, all political parties are becoming more comfortable with. Yeah. It has changed the face of campaigning. I just long for the days. There was a sense of unity in which we all went on the same day. Yeah. But I recognize it's changing. And there are large percentages of the population that are voting ahead of time now.
Yeah, and there's some consequences to that. We'll talk more about that on the program in coming weeks. But man, slew of legislation out of Harrisburg, Michael. We'll try to get to as much of it as we can, beginning with House Bill 2530. Your group was so instrumental in getting this passed, protecting the right to attend church even during a pandemic. Why was this measure necessary?
Well, because with the emergency declarations that came after COVID-19, the governor basically had the power to completely shut down things, including houses of worship, churches, synagogues, etc., and the notion that a single individual in our form of government has that power, the power to basically overrule a constitutional liberty in the First Amendment, is something that the legislature said, hey, wait, that's too much power.
Yeah.
And so we're excited for House Bill 2530 that passed by a veto-proof majority. Lead sponsor Clint Owlett did a great job on the legislative floor defending this legislation and promoting it. It now goes to the Senate, and we'll see what happens from there.
All right. Well, last week, Jason, you admonished us to remain vigilant when it comes to preventing the spread of COVID at church. Spoke to a pastor of one of the larger churches in our area this week. He told me less than 30% of regular attendees are back. Are people right to be skittish about going back to church, or do you think that they need to jump in those waters again?
I think a lot of it depends on what region of the state you're in. There are regions where COVID really never had as deep an impact as it did did perhaps in Queens and other places in the state. So there are places where people are more skittish. But at the end of the day, you know, even national polling is showing us that about a third of the church, quote-unquote, is not coming back after the pandemic. We have to work on that. There has to come a moment where people say it's time to go back. The church matters, and people need to get back to church. The body of Christ needs to gather corporately and then just to be ministering in its local community.
Yeah, there's only so much you can do online. Not to knock that, but we weren't meant to live like this. I've said that a few times before. Michael, let's talk about what's going on in Lancaster, the rioting there this week. A judge took the unusual step of setting bail at $1 million for several of the protesters who ransacked that beautiful city following a police shooting. Do you agree that these rioters need to be taught a lesson, or do you think that bail was excessive?
Well, what we've seen around the country is that these rioters, and especially the instigators of the rioters and the ones that are setting out you know, the bricks and all of those sorts of things, are caught, and then it's, you know, catch and release, and they're sent right back out. The notion of bail is to prevent the person who's been arrested from fleeing, or at least to demand that they come back. And, you know, bail is set depending on people's level of income and resources to pay the bail. With the funds that have been set up to get rioters out of jail, with, you know, people like Kamala Harris who have encouraged people to give money to get rioters out of jail, yeah, it makes sense to put these high bails because these are, in effect, rich people because they have this money, these funds backing them to get them out.
Yeah, and as soon as you destroy public property, it's no longer a protest. To me, it's a riot, and there's a difference there. Jason, we've seen New York's COVID numbers statewide remaining at about 1% or even lower. Really good numbers when you consider the national figures. There have been flare-ups here and there. The college situation is a story we're keeping an eye on. But are you surprised at how many schools have canceled sports, whether it be at the collegiate level or high school level? Is this prudent, or is this punishing students here?
Well, I think it's unfair to the students. I mean, you know, we have situations where now the Big Ten is back, the NFL is playing. I mean, we're seeing games are being played, but somehow it's something high school students can't do. And frankly, clubs are playing at the high school level. You just can't play at the interscholastic level. And so that's a real problem here. Near me, Rochester City Schools has canceled all sports, and yet there are private schools here that are playing. So, you know, I think that's something we have to realize is we have been through the pandemic. It has been challenging, but our numbers are very good. And for the mental health of our kids, for their physical health, we really need to get sports going again. In schools, sometimes that's the only thing that some of these students really get excited about, and that's okay. It's the way that God has wired them, but let's move forward and let them play.
Yeah, I tell you what, it's a big part of student life, and without it, kids are struggling big time. Michael, another big bill this week, Senate Bill 1287. I hope I have it right. This would make it a misdemeanor to not wear a mask in public. I know the mask debate is a big part of the whole COVID conversation right now. Do you support this legislation?
I would say generally I don't, and I'll just speak personally about this because the mask issue, as you said, is a big debate. It's a big question mark, even in churches. You talk to pastors and others and people on one side that support him, others that don't. I think the issue with masks, especially because there are medical conditions, there are other situations with people who, for those reasons, can't wear a mask. I think to put some kind of criminal penalty, even if it's just a misdemeanor, is a little overreach from government.
All right. And then finally, Jason, making the rounds on media. He is one popular guy. You're on Spectrum News this week talking about this thing called the QAnon controversy. Maybe some of our audience not familiar with that is. Conspiracy theories that get circulated out on social media. Why was it necessary at this point, Jason, for you to speak about this?
Well, I think it's because truth matters, you know, and we're seeing in the political realm that I'm in that QAnon is becoming an issue. There are people that do subscribe to that conspiracy theory. Let me just say that I believe that there are people that are looking to come after President Donald Trump. I think there is truth that there are sex trafficking rings. And those two bits of truth have then been used to expand this theory known as QAnon, that there is this kind of a cabal of people that are involved in child sex trafficking, that are global leaders trying to take down the president, and it goes into much deeper details that, frankly, it's full of untruths and false claims. And there are times when we as Christians just have to stand up and say, this isn't right. Social media is circulating these ideas, and we need to focus on the main thing. We have to keep the priorities right, focus on the policies, and not all the things that often distract from what we need to be focusing on.
Yeah, and so in other words, don't always believe everything you see and hear on social media.
Amen.
All right, and that will have to be the last word this week, but so many issues, so little time. Michael, if folks have questions about what's happening in Pennsylvania, you have a wonderful website. Where can they find you?
PAFamily.org.
And in New York State, stay informed on the issues. Jason, what's your site, sir?
AlbanyUpdate.com.